Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
The building, and it's great, it's wonderful. Really appreciate 82 years of gospel ministry has been going out from this building from the very founding days of 1937. The last church to be planted in 88 churches was Bethel Church, Coventry. 88 churches planted from 1928 to 1937. We were planted in 1937, and the founding pastor, Mr. Davis, had a 40-year faithful ministry, followed by John Grindell, Peter Phipps, Ian McNair. And I have a privilege of being the servant here the time the Lord wants me to be. Isn't God good to us? Isn't he fantastic that we go on the shoulders of those before? I love, if you ever look back at our series, going through books of the Bible. The reason I like going through series and not picking always hot topics is you can chase the hot topics in a church. Whereas when we go through scripture, what happens is the Lord has a way of forcing us to look at some really difficult issues. And I know today is going to be very, very painful and challenging for many people because we're continuing in our series. And so it's very, very important. Do you know, it's so easy. I would probably be tempted to preach John 3:16 every week and just say that, isn't it great that for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. But there are things in scripture that are important because all scripture is God-breathed. And when Paul wrote that, he was writing predominantly about the Old Testament at the time. So all scripture is God-breathed, and we know now it's new as well, and is useful for teaching and correcting, etc. So today, as we look at this verse 12 of Exodus 20, it's a challenging verse for many people. And I'm broadening it out because I realize that some of us are older and perhaps don't have the privilege of parents. I'm one of those people who've lost both parents, and but still, I'm now a parent, and we're all in family, so I broaden today about honouring God in the family. But I just want to pray, and I just want to ask you, please, as a pastor who loves you, to open your heart. What is God saying to us, to you, about how we love those that in some ways we don't have a choice of being amongst, our families? How do we do that? How do we do that? Maybe if they don't deserve it as well, you know? Some people might not deserve to be honored. It's interesting. Honor your father and mother so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, that we can't dodge and weave. We can try, but we can't dodge away from your truth. We thank you so much that your word is truth. But we realize that we as people can manipulate without your spirit. We can maneuver and try and produce guilt and emotion beyond deep transformation. So Holy Spirit, we pray that we'd have perhaps, yes, through emotion, but through deep transformation, the deep working of your spirit, come now, Holy Spirit. Before we even know what you're going to say, may I have open hearts. Do an open spiritual heart surgery on me today. And may I leave here desiring to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, when no one's looking, in those personal spaces. Would you speak to us today in Jesus' name? Amen. So, hopefully that's a bit of anticipation for you. I always write these things and think about my own situation. It's never written for individuals. You can't do that. It's not fair. And we allow the Spirit of God to sift through and speak through these matters. We're going through the book of Exodus. We've been doing this since last September, and we're at chapter 20, so there's 40 chapters, so you could do the maths, but it might not work that way. We're not sure how the Lord's going to carve this up, especially when we get onto the big tent chapters. That should be a lot of fun, from 25 to 40, about the tabernacle. But We've called the series Becoming Who You Are because I believe that God wants us not only to come to him, but to transform us as his followers. And it's not just a New Testament thing about being a disciple. We have kind of words we connect to certain events in church history, and a disciple we would connect obviously to the first 12 Jesus called. We would naturally do that. But we're all called to be Christ followers. And we said often what we've suffered from, and it's very difficult, is we've suffered from a gospel that's basically said that you can be saved by trusting what Jesus did on the cross, but you don't have to follow Jesus. It's an option. And we don't see that in Scripture. So if that was the case in Exodus, we said before that the book of Exodus would finish around chapter 15 when the people were celebrating their salvation on the other side of the Red Sea. And then it would just be about that, and they'd spin that out and have worship services, and they'd develop the group and all sorts of things, and it would be good. But it doesn't stop there, because we then start to gather around the mountain with regards, how does God then want us to live? What sort of lives, Peter says, he asks the question, what sort of lives should we then live if we are Christ followers? So being a Christ follower involves transformation. And they are connected, so salvation and transformation, conversion and discipleship, are two sides of the same coin. We can't have one without the other. And so often pastors can be speaking to packed churches or not so packed churches, trying to convince people to take up some option on their contract which says you don't have to follow. You're saved. Just rejoice in that. It's enough. And it can be difficult. But as we go into the whole of the Ten Commandments, we see that it's about what happens in our personal lives. Christ's following spills over into our personal life. It must do. In fact, I would actually suggest it really starts there. And what do we do? The big question for me this week is, what are we like when it comes to being a Christ follower when no one is watching? And I find that striking as a question, because that's where the real nitty-gritty of what it means to be a Christ follower takes place. It spills out into every area. And why is that? Well, the Apostle Paul says it for a great reason. Why is it that? Why can't we just be saved and not have to follow in so much detail? Why is God so interested in the detail? Hasn't he got a world to kind of like keep pacified and to kind of bless and lots of problems in the world? Why is he so worried about my life? You see, the Apostle Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 6:20. He says to the Christian people, you are no longer your own. You have been bought at a price. So we are owned as Christ followers by Christ. The whole Godhead owns us from that point onwards. We are his people. And so with that wonderful privilege, and it is a wonderful privilege, comes a huge responsibility. I don't know if you feel it, but I really feel it. That huge responsibility. Because then Paul says something really dramatic and says, and you know that you are ambassadors as well. So you represent a kingdom in another kingdom. I used to go to Saudi Arabia quite a lot, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and I was from the United Kingdom. And they have an embassy there, which is a lovely, nice, safe place if things get difficult. And when you enter the United Kingdom embassy, you're in the United Kingdom, technically and politically. You are in a kingdom in another kingdom. Do we understand what we're saying there? And what Paul says is you are ambassadors of a new king and a new kingdom. The reason you're still alive and not in heaven is that you are now to represent him to a dying world in every sphere of your life. And can I say, it is not a New Testament thing. Here we have the commandments starting to move into the very personal detail, moving from Sinai in a way to our homes. And this is really fascinating and really challenging. And in the fifth commandment, we see it move from about having a rest, honoring the Lord, honoring his name. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. What are you thinking right now? When you hear that, some of you are going to be thinking, well, I think I do. My parents are great. Some of you might be thinking, they don't deserve it. They never deserved it. They're not here. I wish they were. I'm glad they're not. We're honest here. It's hard to do this. You know, there's a saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And I just want to say the first thing, how can we do this? How is it possible? And I want to expand this out to family. How is it possible to really honor, to really love those that God has given us in our immediate families? And even in the family of the church, we're all a little bit odd. And I look at myself every day because I know that. And the first thing I'd like to say here is that it's a command. It's the fifth commandment. And so why should that encourage us? Well, it should encourage us because it means it's not a natural thing we do. Because otherwise we wouldn't have to be commanded to do it. Every time you read a commandment in the Bible, it's because we don't naturally do it. Now, it may have been easier for you to do it if you've been blessed by parents who've loved you and cared for you. But for many people, it's not been easy. But we have to do it. Why do we have to do it? Well, great, let's feel guilty. It's because it's a command. And the commands in Scripture, whenever Jesus commands something, or the Lord, Yahweh commands something in Scripture, it's because our natural bent is not to do it. It's hard to do. And so what I want to do is acknowledge at the beginning here that it's not a natural thing. We're going to need some help. You are my people. And so the tablets of stone at Sinai are coming down. And imagine this tablet of stone, the law of the Lord. And every year what would happen at Pentecost is that God's people would celebrate Moses bringing down the tablets of stone with this on it. Honor your father and mother. They would celebrate at Pentecost how to do it, and they would be striving. And we see when we move to the book of Kings that some kings had great children, others didn't. We look at the prophets and the priests. We look at Eli, all those people. So it isn't a miracle that when we see Pentecost in Acts 2, instead of the tablets coming down, as Jerusalem is packed with people not waiting for the Holy Spirit, but waiting for the celebration of Shavuot, of the fact that we can celebrate God gave his law at Sinai in Exodus 19, God says, actually, just as I said through Joel, as Peter pronounces, was going to be a day when the Spirit of God's going to come. You're not going to have to learn this, because the Spirit's going to come and rest on every heart, young and old alike, and this is going to be written on your heart, honor your father and mother. That's how it works. This isn't an Old Testament thing. So why is it so hard if I've got the Holy Spirit? Why is it still hard? Because Paul says, you know, the things I want to do, Romans 7, the old and the new are tussling. And this old, they don't deserve this, my wayward son who wrecked my life. My abusive father or mother. So it's a command. So that gets my attention. It really does. So being a follower, secondly, really, it does start in the home. You see, it is much easier, usually, to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, a follower of the Lord who saved us from our previous life in church. In fact, how many people walk in the door with the evangelical grins on? You just had a row in the car. None of you. Hate it there, I'm not going back. You see, you should have told you this morning. Well, I thought you was going to finish that job. Mama, I don't want to go. It's boring. Nobody? God, it's such a privilege, this church. I know. You don't want to put that on everyone else, do you? But family is at the heart of following. That's why I'm so grateful for the church family, because we have to embrace single people who might say, well, what about me? And that's a very valid thing. How are we family to people who perhaps can't experience the day-to-day family where they are. Maybe they don't have parents. How are we honoring family in our context? We can apply this across the board. But here is, honor your father and mother. Do you know there's something powerful about a Christ-following family? I'm talking the earthly family now, where they follow Jesus. We've probably all been blessed, and you could probably in your mind name a family where you go, gosh, have you seen the kids? They love Jesus. Wow. And we can get a bit of envy going on. That breaks the other commandment, doesn't it? You can't win. This is why we don't need the Mosaic Covenant in that sense, do we? We need the new one. Listened for 3-4 weeks ago. But you see, all of us probably know, notwithstanding general frictions, families who do this well, who serve in church. But you just know at home they do this as well. They pray and you can just tell. By and large, with God's help, that they, it's very powerful. The youngsters speak to the youngsters and they minister to the youngsters, and the father and the wife, husband and wife, and the mum and dad, they speak to the parents, and there's just a sense of a holistic ministry going on here. We need to pray for our families. But I would say often that's been developed over years of legacy of faith in the quiet. Nothing in the news, nothing in the notice sheet. Something that's just been quietly the most central thing. I would say if we're going to do disciple making, don't do it with a church course. Do it at home. This is where it really matters. It really matters what we do there. Because then, church, it spills out. You might think it works the other way, but I believe in the God that wants to work in our core. Starting with me. But can I say the reality is, for many people, being in family is a daily struggle. Different priorities, different passions for Jesus or not. Let's not just preach the commandment and say, well, there we go. The reality on the ground is we are dysfunctional. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm saying we're broken. You could call it the fall, but that means every aspect of our life, including our ability to be family, as much as we might do this reasonably sometimes, is broken. We need the Spirit's help to do this. Other people could be left traumatized by their upbringing. I know people. Maybe leading to questions, how could I honor my parents, my child? Why should I, actually? Because the reality is we can be parents or children in a faith or non-faith household, but at the same time in a struggling household. Maybe, let me give you some examples. Maybe mum loves Jesus, dad doesn't love Jesus. Let's keep it simple. Or the other way around. Maybe the older child is going on with the Lord, really getting to know Jesus, wants to follow him. The younger child doesn't. Or the other way around. Maybe both parents don't, but the children do. Or maybe whatever it might be. We need to pray for the work amongst our children and youth, that as leaders share Jesus, that actually what they're equipping our children and youth in a great way to be disciples, to be ambassadors in broken homes, often spiritually broken, if not actually physically dysfunctional. It's a tough job. I was the first believer in my home. 16 years old, I had an older sister who was 19 at the time, my mum and dad, who weren't believers. I came to Jesus at 16, so it was spiritually dysfunctional. But I loved my parents, and my joy of salvation turned to, Lord, I want my family to be saved. Of course it did. Can I just say as well, if this has touched a chord with you, a nerve, as ugly as our past might be, it may have shaped us up to now, but it does not have to define us. Did you hear that? It may have shaped us. We are shaped by what we've been through. We can't deny that. But it does not have to define us. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And I'm going to move on to this, so please stay with this. This is hard. I love going through the Bible. But you see, I'm not surprised. Therefore, with the potential and the power of family, that the family is under great attack. Marriages are under great attack. The family unit, the whole basis of marriage, is under attack in our land. Almost more than I've ever seen or known for a long time. You know, I have a dear pastor friend in America. Do you know, it's becoming common now for children to divorce their parents in America. You are no longer my parent. It's coming. Because we're not far behind. We're quite gullible as a nation that way. I've seen it in ministry. So many pastor friends, ministry friends, whose children are resentful at the time that their dad or mum has been taken from the family home. Resentful of the time the church, has, how they see it, has stolen their parent. Do you know, as a pastor, this was one of the greatest delays for me when I was thinking about even thinking about this. I read Paul's caution to Timothy, the young pastor, 1 Timothy 3:5. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? And that hit me like an arrow. Oh my goodness me. What am I doing here? So in our broken world, how can we live out as Christ followers, as parents, as children, and honor God in this commandment? Because it's not a it's not an Old Testament thing. Oh, well, that's it now, isn't it? You know, Paul in Ephesians 6 is talking to groups of people, husbands, wives, children and parents, employers, employees. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right, verse 1. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This is Ephesians 6, not Exodus. So that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. But you know, this is chapter 6 of Ephesians. It's not chapter 1. Because Paul, you see, has just spent the first 4 chapters of Ephesians telling the Ephesians what we all love to hear about their glorious privileges in Christ, chapter 1. You have been predestined. You have been chosen. And we love this. And this is what we want to raise a hallelujah for. And we need to have that pizza base, this platform of security in Jesus. I am, whatever. You're a good, good father. And so Paul says in chapter 1, you know, you are so blessed in the heavenlies. And then on top of that, he says, did you know in chapter 2 that this is your background? As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, chapter 2. So my privileged position is that I'm saved. I'm in the heavenlies. And I want to remember my background, what I've been saved from. But in chapter 3, he wants to talk to them. He wants to really let them know that whatever happens to you in whatever circumstance following Jesus, you are so loved. You are so loved by the Father. And so in chapter 3:14, it says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, to the Ephesian church, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray for you, says Paul. I pray out of the pastor's heart for you, that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's got to be in here. It's no external, oh, I've got to honor something. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, please keep on this. I pray that you, this is the key thing. Look where our roots are. Not in sociology or some self-help course. And I pray you being rooted and established in love. In love. May have power. Power. Together with all the Lord's holy people, that's all of you. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, to really know it, to know it in your inner knower that surpasses knowledge. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, knowing we are loved first changes everything. Knowing I am loved completely, securely, unconditionally changes everything. It changes how I see others. In chapter 4, Paul talks to the Ephesians. He talks about their need to become spiritually mature. Don't just sit there saying, isn't it great that Jesus died? It's wonderful. Do a spiritual self-check. But after all said and done, what Paul then does, the theory stops and we have to then work it out in family, in work, in our homes. And so in chapter 5, he says, husbands and wives. So Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, and Ephesians 6, it says, honor your father and mother. How do we do it? How is it even possible? This is my last point. How is it possible? It's only possible from a platform knowing we are securely and completely loved, but ultimately with godly submission. Paul, before he speaks to husbands and wives, before he speaks to children and parents, before he speaks to bosses and their employees, he says, Ephesians 5:21, at the beginning of the whole section, after all his theology and theory and self-help, he says, therefore, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. That's all of the relationships, out of reverence for Christ. I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm doing this for Jesus. I love you because he loves me and I love him, and I'm doing this for Jesus. Jesus says, I know it's hard for you to love your parents. I know it's hard for you to love your child. I know it's hard for you to love whoever it might be, but do it for me. Because I first loved you. And you didn't deserve it either. You know, the Greek word Paul uses, hypotassomenoi, submit yourselves. So this is an internal act, submit yourselves. It's not an act of someone telling you to submit. Submit. No. Submit yourselves. I just concede to my king. Well, I wouldn't do it for them. You haven't got my dad, Keith. You haven't got my sister. You haven't got my wife. You haven't got my child. Finished a sentence. Ephesians 5 reminds us that we're not doing it for them. That's going to be the result. We're doing it for him. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Some people are easier to love than others. I get that. But it's difficult. I asked Leslie to come and share a bit. Shocked her this morning. She was just getting ready. I said, come and share a little bit. She goes, what? What about? And I says, well. So she's agreed to do that, which gives you a different voice. Do you want to pop up here? Give a little round of applause for my wife, please. Because this is not an easy subject. Do you want to come on the platform? You just stand there. Of course you can. Keep it to your mouth.
Okay. Yeah, so I've been asked to come and talk to you. Can you hear me? Yeah. I've been asked to come and talk about my experience with my mum and dad. And I had a really difficult relationship with them over a number of years. And it caused me a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. and a lot of insecurity, and it affected many areas of my life, and it was getting worse and worse. And I became a Christian when I was 21, and I was convicted of this verse that says, honour your parents. And I really battled with it, I really struggled with it. How can I do that when they've done this, 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 this and this? They've hurt me so much. And I don't know how that is even possible, to even imagine doing that. And so I continued to suffer for many years, where I was battling with it so much. And in the end, the pain was so bad that I just broke down before the Lord and said, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. I can't contain this pain anymore. And just gave it to him. And then he began to help me to forgive them for what had happened and what had gone on. And helped me to love them like he loved them. And it wasn't easy, but gradually, bit by bit, it got easier and easier. The scars are there, they'll never go away, but he has just helped me so much to overcome those difficulties. And now we have a good relationship. And not only that, but it's allowed me to be able to speak into their lives and to share the gospel with them, which I've done on quite a number of times now. And I pray for them almost every day. And I would never have had that if I could have walked away many times. I could have just walked away and never gone back there. But I would have missed out on all of that. And who knows, you know, one day I might have that joy of seeing them come to the Lord, which would have been worth all of that pain and all of that suffering. So I just encourage anyone here who's in a similar situation to that just to never give up hope. Give it to the Lord and he will help you to deal with it. Thank you.
So can I just ask, how was that though? What switched it? What was it? Because I'm talking about submitting to, you know, people hear me on the platform saying, you just got to submit to Christ, you know, submit to Christ, you're doing it for him. Mm-hmm. They're going, yeah, okay. I mean, what practically changed for you to be able to do that, Leslie?
Yeah,
it wasn't instant, was it?
Yeah, it was just that surrendering to God that I'd been trying to deal with it in my own strength, and it was just impossible. And so when I poured out my heart to him and just gave it over to him and said, Lord, I need you to help me to do this because I can't do it on my own. And that is when the switch came and the difference, it started to happen. And as I say, it was gradual, bit by bit, but it just got easier and easier as the time went on.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And we do, like you say, we do pray for them. And we've seen breakthrough, haven't we, with the family, really. We're not all falling on the knees, prayer one, you know. But I think it's probably released. It releases us.
Yes, definitely.
More than... A lot of this is about releasing us. Don't carry that. We're not meant to carry this stuff. Neither if the Lord wants to release us this morning. I really do. He wants to release us from that angst and I remember when's and all this. And we want to pray for that. And could you pray for us, Leslie, that people can be able to release themselves from that? Just to be able, I'm going to carry on just for 5 minutes or so, whatever.
Yes, Lord. I just thank you that you're such an awesome, amazing God, Lord, who... Lord, I just pray that you'll forgive us for when we suffer, Lord, in our own strength and we don't come to you. Just help us to come to you, Lord, with whatever it is that we're struggling with, and just to pour that out to you, Lord, because you want to come into our lives and heal us, Lord, of those deepest, darkest holes in our life. And just thank you that that is where you are the strongest, and you heal us, Lord, and you help us to move on. We were never meant to suffer in these ways, Lord. Mm. And you just want us to give that over to you. So I just really pray for anyone here who is struggling to let go. Just help them to have that trust in you, Lord, that they need to make that step and to make that transition, that they can just go on to be healed and to be free of it all, Lord, and just to have that deeper relationship with you and also with whoever it might be that has affected them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Brilliant. Appreciate that. This is real life, isn't it? We need to jump from the page. So Exodus 20 says, this is how you are to live for me. You're to be a follower for me. And in the worship service and all that, it's been fine, and the Sabbath, and now here we go. This has gone straight to the heart of things. You see, maybe we could ask ourselves today, how am I doing loving those in my home whom the Lord has given me? How am I doing loving those in my family that the Lord has given me? Trying to remove the things that say we don't deserve it, because that's fair enough. It's a given because we didn't. You know, Jesus, in case there's any doubt in our minds that the exception is our household, he says, you know, I actually want you to love your enemies. What's the point of loving those who love you? Because even the pagans do that. So he left no room for misinterpretation on this. There's no exceptions. Absolutely none. Which is really hard. But the Spirit wants us. And this is a slow burner. This is a family burner in here for us to pray for and through. I want these times together to be meaningful. I don't know about you. I want to be transformed. And I want to say, Lord, please help me love those who are difficult to love. So it's no one is saying this is easy as we bring this down. That's why we are commanded to do it. It's not easy. But as we remind ourselves of our motivation, we can serve him. I honestly think we can serve Jesus in the coldest of households. I really do. Out of reverence for Christ and service for him. Do you know, plus knowing we are so loved, so secure in him. We're going to sing it soon. He is our good Father. That's where my security is in. It's not in my family in some ways. That's lovely. It's in him. He is my good Father. Do you know, as we open ourselves, I want you to picture this. When I go to a restaurant, I like it when you have crumble or something and it says you can get a bottomless jug of custard, you know. That means you can top it up, because I like to do that. The love of God is like a bottomless jug. You see, if we snatch love from here and there, we'll want to hold on to it. But I just want you to imagine now the love of God that Paul spoke about, how wide, as I'm speaking, how deep, keep pouring, is, you know, broad, how wonderful, the love of God just pouring over you. I find it so much easier to say to someone else when I'm so lavished in love, would you like some? Because they're not stealing the little bit I've got. I find it so much easier when I know I'm lavished in God's love. And that jug is pouring. He's pouring on you today if you love Jesus today. He's pouring on you. If you don't, he is. And he wants you to come to his son and know what it means to be forgiven and have a new life and follow him. That love oozes out. You see, I can preach at my family all day. But Paul says, if I do that without love, I'm like a resounding gong. A resounding gong. Or maybe we've got those in our households. Those who don't love Jesus yet, we're expecting them to behave like they do. How is that possible? Without the Spirit of God, they're behaving how they should. We pray that the Spirit comes and changes. Or we can be devastated by those perhaps who say they love Jesus in public, but who misrepresent Christ in that private place and family place. This is still hard. We can do that by Spirit's help. And I just want to ask the challenge. This is my challenge. If we aren't going to strive to live and love like Jesus in our homes and amongst our families, who is? Who will? Lord, I want to be an ambassador for you. They don't deserve it. Neither do we. But we know that he first loved us whilst we were his enemies. Isn't that wonderful? How absurd is the gospel? Isn't it beautiful? So we strive in this area because the Lord has commanded us to. So our words are empty on the mountain. If we confine our service to the public arena, What about, I'll go back to the beginning, when no one is watching? What is it like? There's no how-to course for this, by the way. No slick sermon or basic Bible devotional. It's not about measured outcomes, but faithful submission to Christ in every area. Through pain, yes, probably. Through tears, certainly. But ultimately in and through the power of the Spirit of God as he comes and changes me. I just want to pray. In the music group, we're going to come. Holy Spirit, I want you to help me to be the parent, the son, the daughter, the husband, the wife you have called me to be. To help me to submit, not to tyranny or abuse, but to you. To love like you love. To forgive like you forgive. Help me to follow you in my home when no one is watching. I cannot begin to see how that might work, Lord, but you can use me. I want to submit to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe something's, well, maybe. No maybe about it. Because that didn't touch your heart. It gets me every time. Please pray. Come and pray. I'd love to pray with you here. Leslie, others would love to pray with you. We're all dysfunctional in some way. Pray for one another and ask the Lord to help us love the unlovely by submission to him. So let's use this time. We've got a couple of songs, Rachel, I think, that we can use to help us as we come. And first celebrate that he's a great father. And then allow the Spirit to minister to us together. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.